5:1, when they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Well, I did have some help up there in the sound booth. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. In verse number 21, it starts our next story. You have that demon-possessed man, and then it goes to another story in verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship the other side, much people gathered unto him, he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee come, and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue has gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto her, thou seest the multitude throng thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that he was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh in the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the turmoil and many and them that wept and waileth greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make thee this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to read your word. We love the Bible. We like reading the Bible. And Lord, we pray that we can find you, if we hadn't found you yet in the blessed pages of what we read this morning, we probably won't never find you. But you're all over every page, every chapter, every book from Genesis to Revelation. Lord, we thank you for it. I pray that we will find help in our time of need this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, if we would have read the previous chapter, which we would still be reading if we did, in chapter number 4, that's where Jesus calmed the sea. He was asleep in the bottom of the boat. He gets on the bottom, the disciples wake him up, said, Master, care us not that we perish. And he walks to the veil of the ship, and he says, peace be still, and the winds and the waves lay down. And then, soon as after that, we start chapter 5, and he goes over to the other side of the man of the Gadarenes, and he's possessed with the devil, and all of these legions of devils is all over him, and he tore his clothes off like they do at Walmart and the mall, and so he was full of the devil, and when you're full of the devil, you just want to take your clothes off and show everything you got, and when you're full of the devil, you want to take your clothes off and show everything you got. When you're full of the devil, how am I doing right there? And he started cutting himself. And when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. And then the Lord cast all of those demons out of him. And so now he's headed into this other city, and a man by the name of Jairus has a daughter at the house, And she's at the point of death. He falls down at Jesus' feet and says, I need you to come to my house. My daughter is laying sick. And she's at the point of death and we've tried everything. Lord, would you please come to my house and just touch my daughter. On his way to her house, all these people are all around him and thronging him and pushing. And it's just a crowd of people. And this woman, which is an issue of blood, which spent all that she had on every doctor that she knew, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be whole. And she's crawling through the crowd, and she reaches out and just touches the hem of his garment. He turns around and says, who touched me? And all of that, we just read the story. And then he heals this woman. So by the time he heals her, the girl that he was on his way to see is now dead. He walks into the house and he says, why are y'all weeping? This girl is not dead. She's just asleep. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. And so he takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and the dead girl, Jesus has never preached a funeral. First funeral I ever preached, I said, man, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me go through and find a funeral where the Lord preached. Well, that was no help because he never preached one. Every funeral Jesus went to, the dead got up and everybody went home and ate potato salad. So this is what I'm seeing in this story. In chapter 4, he is the master of the deep. In chapter 5, he's also the master of the demon possessed. He's also the master of the diseased woman. He's also the master of the dead girl. I'm seeing a hospital here. You say, preacher, we pulled up to Christ Church Baptist Fellowship. Oh, no, you pulled up to a hospital here in Millsfield where hurting people come to find help in the time of trouble. You say, preacher, I'm not coming to church till I get to do better. That's like saying I'm not going to the doctor till I fix my broke leg. The reason you go to the doctor is because something's broke. Something ain't right. The reason you come to church. Well, I'm not coming down there with all them hypocrites. Come on. We'll make room for one more. Well, I'm looking for the perfect church. Keep looking because you won't find one. If you do, don't join it. You'll mess it up. This is a hospital for sick people. I see a demon-possessed man, a diseased woman, and I see a dead girl. In this hospital, we have a men's ward. We have a women's ward, and we have a children's ward. Well, y'all not with me just yet. If we were to score this hospital that we're looking at, this hospital would receive a perfect score. There's not a case or condition that can't be treated at this hospital. This hospital only has one doctor. And one doctor is all you need. You say, well, I need a specialist. He specializes in every case, every disease, every situation. The Lord Jesus Christ specializes in hurt people, in people that have been sick, and people that have been hurt in so many different levels. He specializes in your case. You say, preacher, I don't have any money for any doctors. Well, I got good news for you. If you don't have any insurance, you don't need it at this hospital because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. That's why they call him the great physician. When all hope seems lost, help is on the way. When all hope seems lost, help is on the way right over here. When hope is all lost, help is on the way right over here. Let me give you three things, three long things. The patients that were admitted. We've already introduced you to the demonized man, and he's in the tombs. He lives in the tombs. He lives in a dark place. The demons have dominated his life. The devil loves dirty things. Notice he's got an unclean spirit. It's dirty. A dirty spirit. It's almost like a guy dressing up as a woman, putting makeup on and a dress and high heels, and going to the local library and reading to some children. It's dirty and it's unclean and it's demonic. Pull the camera up real close. I done called the lawyers and I told them what I was going to be saying. It's dirty. It's unclean. That's why we got to protect these kids. Because the devil's after these kids. And there's a demonic force in our school system. There's a demonic force in our nation working overtime right now. Unclean things. He says he had legions of demons that could have been anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 demons and devils living in this man's body. It dominated his life. Not only did it dominate his life, it defiled his life. Not only does the devil love dirty things, but it likes dead things. That's why they lived in the tombs. People that like to hang out in the graveyard in the middle of the night when it's dark and cobwebs and it's dark, it's demonic, it's something wrong with you. You say, preacher, you scared? I'm not scared. I know the Lord, but I'm not going to go out there and tempt the devil and lay down in there and spend the night. Dominated his life, defiled his life, distressed his life. The devil loves dirty things, dead things, destructive things. Notice this man's cutting himself, doing bodily harm to himself. It's demonic. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up. Here's a church out here in Millsfield that's going to try to tell you the truth. There are people that are mutilating their bodies and trying to change what God had already determined when you were born. It's either a blue card or a pink card. There's no in between. And God don't make any mistakes. Amen. Now be careful if you're clapping because you're on the internet. Sin disfigured and mutilated his body and all of that. That's what the devil does. But I've already introduced you to this patient number two, this diseased woman. She was in a despair. She had been had an issue of blood for 12 solid years. She's done been to every doctor she knew. She spent every dime that she had. Her family has left her alone because there's just no hope. She's been everywhere. She's been to every church, every priest, every confessional booth. She's been everywhere she knowed to be, and nothing got any better. Despaired. She was a desperate, desperate woman. She was desperate. You say, preacher, when is God going to hear my cry when you get desperate? This woman, she could have stayed at the house. She could have stayed at the house, but she heard that Jesus was in the area and she, well, it's just too many people. I'll never get to him. She was in a situation where she didn't care. She was in a situation she didn't care if she had to come up here in front of everybody. She didn't care. She had to get there because she was in a situation, a desperate situation of where I got to get to where God is. I got to have some help. I need God to intervene in my life. I need Him to do something in my life. I'm hurting. I've been hurt. I've been sick. I've been deceived by the devil. I'm going through a rough home life. God, I got to have you, and ain't nobody can help me but you. And now we got this diseased woman, this demonic man, and now we got a dead girl on our hands. You got a daddy with a daughter. Now, I don't know if you've got a daughter. A daddy with a daughter is a broke man. My two boys, they're my two oldest boys, they grew up. I gave them the sermon. Every time they wanted $5, $10 to go to the movies, whatever, I said, I gave them the whole sermon, Sammy, about money don't grow on trees. But then when my daughter came along, I gave her every dime I had. Give the credit card. Now she's getting married and now I really don't have no money. I need to take up a special offering. And Tommy, they come up to you with those eyes, you know, and them, you know, and they look at them eyes and them eyes, you just fall all over the place. But this daddy's got a daughter. Now watch, he's got a girl that's homesick. He comes to Jesus, falls down and says, she can't get to you, but I'm trying to get to her through me. I'm trying to get to you for her, on her behalf. I need you to come to my house and intervene for my kids. I'm wanting you to come and intervene on her behalf because she can't help herself. She can't get out of bed. But Lord, I'm coming to you. I need you in this dark day to come to my house. My little girl lieth. Now notice his problem didn't run him away from Jesus. His problem drew him closer to Jesus. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things do happen to godly people. But God's got a plan and a purpose for that. And she was at the point of death. And Jesus raised her from the dead. The patients that were admitted. But let me give you this. The physician that was available. This physician that was available, you know, they got the doctors, the top, the America's top doctors. There's about 4,000 names or plus in this book. And it says this one specializes in kidneys. This one specializes in whatever. And this one specializes in feet. And this one does here and ear, near nose and throat and hair growth and all of that. I've been to them all. Hallelujah. Anyway, all the top doctors. But this book that we have only has one top doctor. That's why they call him the great physician. The only one you'll ever need. You'll find this physician in Mark chapter number 5. He's never lost a case. He's never had anybody to die on his watch. Matter of fact, the thieves on the cross had to wait till Jesus died before they could die, because you can't die around resurrection and life. Mark chapter 5, we see he took the man, the woman, and the child as a patient. And you say, who can come? Whosoever will. It don't matter if you're demon-possessed, if it don't matter if you're diseased, it don't matter if you're dead spiritually. He'll take every case, won't charge you a dime for it. He paid for it on the cross of Calvary. Don't need any insurance. It's already paid. He'll help you in your greatest time of need. All the city was gathered together there. It don't matter who you are, what you've done, what your problem is. Jesus won't turn you away. That Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll take any patient. He can treat any problem. I heard about a man walked in the doctor's office. He had a cucumber up his nose, a carrot in his left ear, and a banana in his right ear. He looked at the doctor and said, doctor, what's the matter with me? And the doctor looked at him and said, you're not eating properly. Some of you look like you just needed to laugh. Anytime we go to doctors around here, that's what they call practicing medicine. But Jesus don't practice. Jesus don't practice. He knows exactly what's wrong with you. And he knows the cure, and he'll give it to you if you'll ask. Sometimes these doctors can cure problems. Sometimes they make problems worse. But Jesus, it didn't matter if it was blindness, leprosy, palsy, a withered hand, fevers, lameness, paralysis, deafness, muteness, whatever it was, Jesus could take care of the problem because he specializes in broken things. Great physician. You ever seen those? I have bad allergies, and so you watch these commercials. You ever watched these commercials? And there's an allergy pill, and you take this pill, and then you got this woman over here, and she's in a ragweed field, and the winds are blowing, and the dandelions are flowing everywhere, and she's breathing just fine because she took this pill. And boy, they paint the real good picture and all of that, and there you go, and she's unaffected by any of all of that. And then all of a sudden, at the very end, they say it real quick at the bottom of the screen. They'll say this medicine could have side effects like dizziness, sleepiness, high blood pressure, rashes, itching, swelling, and headaches. You'll wind up with five more problems trying to treat this one problem. But now, can I tell y'all this? I got to tell you, the disclaimer in the medicine that Jesus prescribes, it does have side effects. It does have side effects. It'll make you stand up in the middle of a service when you're not even supposed to be standing up. It'll just make you stand up. It'll make you clap and all that kind of stuff. You say, what kind of side effects does this medicine have? It'll give you joy, peace that passes all understanding, happiness, contentment, a clean heart, pure conscience, eternal life, just to name a few. He is the great physician. I introduced you to the patients that are admitted and the physician that's available. But the problems that are addressed are problems that are even in this room right now. You say, we're reading about a demon-possessed guy and a diseased woman and a dead girl. And ladies and gentlemen, even in chapter 5, he calmed the storm. You going through a storm? You ever been through a storm? Say, preacher, no, I'm good this week. Well, just hang on. Next week's coming. Somebody said you're either in one, you're coming out of one, or fix to go into one. It's just a revolving circle all the time of the storms of life. But Jesus can calm that. He's got that problem took care of. You're having problems with. Now, we got this idea that demonic things, that we watch too much of The Exorcist. And so for somebody to be demon-possessed or whatever, your head's got to be spinning around. You're just looking at a blank TV. And we think, you know, if you're not, your head ain't spinning around, you know, they're good. The devil's a whole lot smarter than that. You say, preacher, how you did? Listen, I'm telling you, even this week, people that go into schools and start killing innocent children, there's something demonic going on the inside of that person that's unclean, it's devilish. Whether they know it or not, it's unclean and it's devilish. Amen. Now, I was hoping for a few more amens than that. A woman gets in a car and her kids are in the back. She drives off into a lake somewhere and drowns herself and her kids. There's something demonic about that. This man was hurting himself, hurting others. That's a sign of an evil spirit. Now, churchy, we don't like to talk about all this kind of stuff but hey, and the devil don't like us talking about it either. The devil don't like us shining the light down on that either. But I'm telling you, it is a problem that you can get free from. You say, preacher, I'm sick and I need help. Maybe you can't get to God on your own. Abraham got a hold of God on behalf of his nephew Lot. Moses got a hold of God on behalf of the nation of Israel. King David got a hold of God for his nation. Paul got a hold of God on behalf of the church. Somebody got a hold of God on your behalf. If you ever got saved, somebody, it was a mama, a praying grandma, a daddy, whatever it was, somebody got a hold of God for you on your behalf. When you couldn't get to Him, He came to where you were and administered the medicine that you couldn't get yourself. Jesus went to the cross and got a hold of God for the whole world. Nations have been turned around. I'm winding down, and Sammy's finding a good suitable number of invitation. But this man left his house, left his daughter on her deathbed, and he said, "I'm going to get a hold of God on behalf of you." Nations have been turned around because somebody got a hold of God. Churches have been experienced real revival because somebody got a hold of God. Preachers have been revived and transformed because somebody got a hold of God for them. Counties, neighborhoods, and cities have been turned upside down because somebody got a hold of God. Our government could be turned upside down and needs to be in a desperate way if somebody would get a hold of God. Our kids, wayward sons and wayward daughters, might come back if somebody would just get a hold of God. Let me say, we're going to have the invitation. I need somebody to get a hold of God for our church on behalf of our church. I need somebody to come and get a hold of God for me. Just stand between me and God. I need somebody. I need somebody to come and get between our kids and God and say, "I'm here on behalf of our kids here at our church. I'm getting a hold of God for our kids and our schools." Say, "Preacher, why are you sure?" Because that's what it's going to take till the Lord comes. Somebody's going to have to go get God. Somebody's going to have to go get Him, and on behalf of whoever. You say, "Preacher, I'm sick. I can't get there on my own." Somebody might just intervene and get a hold of God on your behalf. Let's all stand all the building. Somebody go get God. When hope is all gone, help is on the way. People are coming. Who else is coming? People are coming.